Every year, there are at least a couple of sincere young men who come to our door asking if they can get rid of our weeds for us. And every year, I say, no thanks. I'm going to leave them there and hope the grass is healthy enough to keep the weeds somewhat under control. And even though Jesus is probably not giving lawn care advice with his parable about weeds and wheat, I feel like I'm on the right side of Jesus with my decision. The story of our salvation tells us that everything about creation was good. God made it, and God saw that it was good. With humans, it was very good. That is also what Jesus says, in a way, in the parable of the weeds and wheat. God is the sower and has sown good wheat only. It is not God who has sown the weeds, but the evil one, the devil. It explains so much, doesn't it? In this passage, we don't read the parable of the weeds, but only the explanation of it. The disciples want to know what it means. And if we're to be his disciples, we need to ask the same questions. What do you mean, Lord? Why are there weeds? Why is there evil? In our time, we know that many have abandoned their faith because they say that evil could not possibly exist if God is so good. Jesus tells us in many ways how things are and how they will go. The kingdom is dawning, but evil will coexist with good, and it will be almost impossible to tell the difference. How often are we confused or even fully deceived by what is going on right in front of us in our own time and in our own culture? Apparently, there's a kind of a weed that looks like wheat in its early stages, but its poisonous nature starts to show itself later on. As evil starts to reveal itself, and it always will sooner or later, at harvest time, God will send his angels to uproot the weeds. That is when it will be clear what is good and what is evil. Well, the weeds were pretty evident amongst the Israelites at Mount Sinai. It took only 40 days of Moses' absence for Israel to forget God's many favors and seek another God. But the making of the golden calf indicated that they were really still slaves to gods who can do nothing for them. Moses was so disappointed, breaking the commandment tablets in his anger when he came down. To them, Moses was everything in their ongoing relationship with God. His anger was God's anger. His judgment on them was God's judgment. He won God's forgiveness for them. And so they became penitent before him. But it also means that they were very distant from the God who is their true liberator. At that time, only Moses would speak face to face with God. It says, as a friend, while the people stood at a distance and bowed down. The cloud in front of the tent was given as a sign that God would not go back on his promise not to destroy them for their sin. Jesus is given to us as the sign that God lives amongst his people, not in a distant tent. Jesus went into the house, it says, and the disciples followed him. Sometimes the smallest detail has the greatest significance. He went in. The house represents the tent where God dwells. A disciple is one who can go into that tent and who does not have to stand at a distance and who is friends with Jesus. But a friend is not just simply like a buddy to hang out with. This is the one of whom we can ask with confidence about the meaning of our lives. It is really Jesus himself in whom dwells the fullness of God's presence. Now, the psalmist says that the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins. It's a good thing. He's like a father who has compassion for his children. The parable tells us to to be patient with the wickedness of the world and perhaps the wickedness in ourselves. At the same time, it also provides us with assurance that faithful children of the kingdom will be vindicated and the wicked will face a severe judgment as the weeds are thrown into the fiery furnace. So a question we might ask is, should we worry about judgment? Of course, to an extent. But notice that good and evil are not equal in their influence. It tells us something very important. God's blessings last 1,000 generations, basically an infinite amount of time, whereas the effects of evil last 3 or 4 generations. So we might ask, where do we see good wheat triumphing today? As it comes to the last 2 official days of Father Troy's time at St. Peter's, isn't it wonderful how we can rejoice that God has made himself present to us in such a beautiful way through Father Troy's faithfulness to his calling to the priesthood? He's a reminder to us that God is a faithful presence to his people. But I can tell you this, that in only 1 year with him as a brother deacon, I could tell many stories about I have been inspired by his humility and his faithfulness, and how he never draws attention to himself, but always points to the God who is the faithful one. And so this is always the message for us today. Everywhere we look are for the signs of God's faithfulness, not to ourselves, because we will always fail, but to God. So do we think that God will be less present after the coming of his son 1,500 years before Jesus? No, he is even more present to us today than God was to those people at that time. We're not on some downward slope or a descending spiral or even a repeating circular pattern. God has been going somewhere with us. He has been taking us on an ascending journey. St. Peter Chrysologus, today's saint, explains that it is not by something in nature that we are saved, but by God's power. So then, do not dishonor yourself by evil, he says. The Creator in the flesh brings dignity to humanity. In this way, he fully raised humanity to God and left in us neither sin, nor death, nor pain, nor anything earthly because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's question for us might be, am I going to be outside in fear of a God whom I cannot understand? Or am I inside with Jesus, thankful that he is my judge, but also my friend? Yes, the weeds are there, but our confidence is in God who lives with us, who is faithful, who calls us out of the weeds into his wonderful light.